for our great radio listeners who want to get in on this previous Sunday's first hour of broadcasting, where we spoke about communicating with God. Here it is. Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Good to have you aboard as we move into another episode of Spiritual Perspectives, where we are continuing our exploration of the beauty of communicating with God. I do want to say to you again, ladies and gentlemen, it is good to be able to communicate with the highest ranking person in all the world. I mean the highest ranking person in all the world. God Almighty. And here's the thing now. I want to say this to you now. Stay with me here. It can be tricky. I'm just being honest now. I'm just being honest. Again, this is real talk about real life. That's what this program is about. Always has been, always will be. Real talk about real life. Real talk about the real world. And in the real world, we human beings can get to a point where we can really communicate effectively with God. But that often comes after much time spent in much prayer. And when I say much time, I'm not really meaning over a 2 or 3 week period. We spend an hour a day in prayer, communing with God, fellowshipping with God, having intimate conversation with God. That's really not what I mean. What I mean now is where I'm referring to where God conveys information to a human being, and that human being is picking up on the vast majority of what God is conveying to them, and they're perceiving accurately the vast majority of what God is conveying to them. And God can be conveying information about upcoming situations. He can be, you know, on a global scale, upcoming situations on a national scale. He can share information about individuals, about families, and the person he's conveying the information to is just flowing with the Spirit of God. As the Spirit of God is conveying that information to the person is accurately perceiving it, picking up on what is being conveyed. Very often, person who is walking uprightly before God and spends plenty of time in intimate conversation with God can find himself, herself in this role. And not even trying to make it a goal per se to hear from God, hear from God, hear from God. We do want to hear from God, and if we make that a goal, I don't think that's a bad thing at all. But what I am saying is, you know how we've talked about how the experts say that if you really want to experience happiness, don't try to make being happy your goal, but rather engage yourself in the activities that lead to happiness. Well, that's what I'm saying here. We don't necessarily need to make being able to hear very, very accurately from God our goal. It is not bad to ask God to help us hear accurately from him. That's not a bad thing at all. But very often, just by spending time in conversation with him day after day, week after week, month after month, And especially when you start talking about spending years having intimate discussions with God, and so you get to the point where you really and truly recognize His communications to you, and you grow accustomed to communicating with God so that He's communicating to you and you're perceiving what He's communicating. You're communicating to Him, and He is certainly picking up on what you're communicating. And so the communication is two-way, it's flowing both ways. And I tell you, to get to a point where we can truly have such an intimate relationship with God that we're able to have intimate conversations with Him, where we make fewer and fewer and fewer errors in our perceptions of what He's conveying. That's living. That's life, ladies and gentlemen. And again, like I said before, when we are, it's that way when we are living a lifestyle that is pleasing to God. There are people who can hear from God. And I mean, information is just flowing to them, and they, as a result, are maybe passing that information on to others. And some people are just given a special ability to pick up on what God is conveying, whether they have the gift of prophecy or the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of the word of wisdom. You know, particularly those communication gifts. There are a lot of people who hear from God, but they don't walk uprightly before God. They don't live lifestyles that are pleasing to God, but they can still hear from God. This is a gift that He's just given them. And we have to remember that the Bible teaches us that gifts and callings come without repentance. And so there are people who have been given certain gifts, even though they have not repented of their sins and make no effort to live a lifestyle that is pleasing to God. But because God gave the gift, gifts and callings come without repentance. The person does not necessarily have to repent to be given special gifts by God. I've seen people who were truly able to communicate, to convey what God was saying. But their moral lives, morally, their lives were a shambles, terrible. Gifts and callings come without repentance. I remember Herod, who had just been abusing the apostles of God. And I mean, this is a guy who he made no pretenses about it. He was not a follower of Christ Jesus, had no intentions of becoming one, and was abusing his Jesus' apostles, disciples, followers. And one day, he did some ugly things. In fact, let me just read a little bit to you from Acts chapter 12. He went from Judea. In fact, this is right after the King Herod had arrested some people who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This is the case wherein Peter was in prison, where King Herod had him locked up while he was ready, waiting to have him brought out for public trial after the Passover. But before the Passover ended, an angel from God came and set Peter free from the shackles that had him bound and led him out of the prison. And he returned to the saints. Well, it was this same Herod, still in chapter 12, who went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there for a while. Now listen to this. Verse 21, we're still in chapter 12. Verse 21. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. And listen to what they shouted. Verse 22 tells us, "This is the voice of a God, not of a man." Now, this is a man who was opposed to God, opposed to Christ Jesus, opposed to the followers of Christ. He had had James, one of the apostles, killed with the sword, had Peter locked up so that he could do some harm to Peter as well. He was against the church. We read that at the beginning of chapter 12. He put on his royal robes and delivered a public address to the people, and they shouted, "This is the voice of a God, not of a man." Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. Now listen to this now. Verse 23 again. Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God. Praise to God for what? For having been able to speak the way he spoke. Having spoken in such a powerful way that the people said, "This is the voice of a God, not of a man." Herod, King Herod, had been given special speaking abilities, special oratorical skills. He did not give that gift to himself. He was given that gift by God. And when those people began to praise him, he was supposed to give the praise to God. And the Bible says, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down. An angel of the Lord. Listen again, ladies and gentlemen. Gifts and callings come without repentance. And there is at least a twofold meaning to that. One, I shared with you already. A person does not have to have committed their lives to the Lord in order to be given special abilities. Remember Baal from the Old Testament days, the prophet Baal. He was not one of the false prophets. He was a true prophet who had been given his gift of prophecy by God. But the Bible says he went after fortune. And he is discredited for having corrupted himself using his prophetic abilities for ill, for bad reasons, particularly to get paid. Gifts and callings come without repentance. So, again, one part of that is a person does not necessarily have to be committed to Christ. They do not have to commit their lives to God. They do not have to necessarily be born again in order to be given a special gift by God. The second part. Because sometimes God changes his mind about certain plans he has for people. When it comes to the giving of these gifts, when God has given the gift, when he has given a special ability to someone, he does not change his mind about that special gift. He doesn't say, "I'm going to take this gift away from you then, since you're going to be corrupt." I know a person who was a homosexual, had a tremendous gift of the word of knowledge. And I watched him just go down the line in a room that had about five or six people. And I watched him go down the line and share with each individual something that God had planned for that, for each individual, for that person. And one particular day that I watched him do this, out of about six people to whom he spoke, he only knew one. The rest he was seeing for the first time in his life. Gifts and callings come without repentance. He lived as a homosexual and he died as a homosexual. But yet, when he died, he had not lost that gift, that special ability to receive special information directly from God that he could then convey to others. That gift of the word of knowledge did not leave him. It was not taken away from him. In other words, God did not change his mind about having given that man that gift just because the man would not live to please him. So it is with King Herod. God had given King Herod special oratorical skills that could have been and should have been used for God's glory. Can you imagine if this man had committed his life to Christ? If he had committed his life to Christ, because Christ had lived, ministered, died, and risen in King Herod's day. So he knew about Christ. Can you imagine if this man who had been given such a tremendous oratorical ability that the people said, this is the voice of a God, not of a man. Can you imagine the impact that he could possibly have had if he had decided to allow the Spirit of God to free him from his sin so that he could commit his life to Christ? And had he become also a preacher or a teacher of the gospel? But here's the thing. Notice this. He did not do that. But God did not take that gift away from him either. But wait, hold up. Now, you just said he died. You just said an angel of the Lord came and struck him. He was eaten by worms and died. Yes, you're right. I did say that. But notice what I did not say. I did not say, and God sent an angel of the Lord who took that gift away from him. That is not what happened. God gave him that gift, and he died immediately after exercising that gift. God did not take the gift. He took the man's life. Gifts and callings come without repentance. God had determined he was giving King Herod that gift, that great oratorical ability, and it was up to King Herod to decide how he was going to use it and who he was going to use it for. He did not use it for the glory of God, and God exercised his sovereign choice to take the man's life right then and there. He doesn't always do that. He let some people go on for years, like Baal, the prophet Baal. Prophet Baal didn't have his life taken the moment he started going after money, using his prophetic gift to get paid. He lived for some years in that dark state. But then we gather from what we read about him in Scripture that when he died, he was not received into God's presence. So gifts and callings come without repentance, but there is a price to pay if we do not use the gifts that God gives us for his glory. And the only way to truly use the gifts God has given us for his glory is to not only exercise those gifts, but to also, and even more importantly, live a lifestyle that is pleasing to him. When we come back, I want to share with you some more about the audible voice of the Lord God.